Well, it's good to be here on the last day.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. The Lord, I think, has a lot to speak to us.
Amen.
But in the principle of the Lord's freshly speaking to us, if your vessel is filled, like this right here, your vessel is already filled, and the Lord would like to add something to you, unless you empty out, He can't put anything more in.
Amen.
So how about we just bow our heads privately, and for 15 seconds, just empty your being. Okay? One, two, three. Okay, very good. Now listen, we're here this morning. If you don't realize it or not, we're on a battlefield. Okay? On a battlefield, you don't get quiet moments like you just got.
Yeah.
So enjoy that quiet moment.
Amen.
But we're here this morning on a battlefield. Okay, so what we want to do this morning, you're all going to be active participants. Get ready.
Amen.
If you didn't realize it, you're a soldier in God's army.
Amen.
So the first thing we're going to do is have all of us to participate. What we are going to do is pray. Read the Word.
Amen.
So you can have your verse sheet, or if it's constituted into your being, what we're going to do is pray, read. Oh, it'd be great if it was already in there. I think it's in there already. We're going to pray, read Ephesians 6, 17 and 18.
Amen.
Okay, corporately pray reading. Twos and threes, standing, exercising. Right? Let's exercise to get out of ourselves. If you know the verse, you don't need your word. Just set it aside. So join with one another, release. We're going to go ahead and do a little fighting.
Amen.
Okay? So let's read the verses or speak the verses from memory. Ephesians 6, 17 and 18.
Amen.
Receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God. By means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit. Amen. And watching unto this, all perseverance
and petition
concerning all the saints. Okay, let me just tell you. Hold on. If you didn't get unloaded enough in this prayer reading, you'll get unloaded further. Okay? All right, brothers, go right there.
Every saint.
Amen. Book.
Receive the sword of the Spirit. Receive the sword.
Which spirit is the word of God?
Yes.
Unto this. Let's all stand up and mention and pray that point. All the saints. Ready? Here we go. All the saints. Again. All the saints. Again.
All the saints.
Okay, let's sit down. So this morning we're continuing our fellowship concerning the matter of the revelation of the mystery. The training is not over. We're on this last session. I just want to give you a brief fellowship about our schedule this morning so that you can calm your being down and prepare to receive the Lord speaking for the remainder of the training until we all leave at noon, okay? So we'll speak. I'll share this portion on Ephesians chapter 6 concerning the corporate warrior. And then after that, we'll have a fellowship from Brother Manuro. So we'll have a fellowship that will receive that from the brother. So you can't prepare your being to respond, but put it on the hot pot. Just let it simmer. Right? We want you to respond, but you can't respond right away. Actually, sometimes it's good to let the Lord speaking simmer. So you'll get a 30-minute infusion from our dear brother as you're simmering over this word. And then the last 30 minutes will be for you to overflow from this morning and the entire training.
Amen.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about the schedule now. Like, oh, what are they going to do? How long are they going to speak? What's going to happen? When do I share? No, we got it all, right? We're ready to go. Okay, so when we come to this last section on the corporate warrior, the first thing I just wanted to mention is it's you have to realize where it is in the book of Ephesians. It's at the very end, right? So he doesn't talk about the warrior in chapter 1. He speaks about you need to see a revelation of the mystery. And you need to pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You need to see what's on God's heart. Right? You need to see, oh, God has a purpose. He has a will. He has an intent. He wants to carry out something. Right? So we need to have a spirit of wisdom. We need to see what God wants.
Amen.
Have we not seen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I would say it's hard to be in this environment and not see. Because why? You're among God's people who are exercising the right part of their organ to see something, right? So maybe you came in a certain way. First day you were like, oh man, the schedule's hard. Oh, and then y'all got a good group time. Oh my goodness. And then you start praying with a sister and she's excited. And you're like, man, why are you so excited? It might have taken some of you a little time. But that's okay. It's good that it was a week long.
Amen.
Right? So as we progressed, more revelation of the mystery was unveiled, right? Then concerning the body of Christ, and then concerning the new man. All of these wonderful elements, or all these wonderful aspects of what Christ desires. And last night, how sweet and precious concerning Christ's deep longing, his desire for a bride. The bride is all about Christ's satisfaction. He desires something, right? It's what it's on his heart from eternity past. If we could say he breathes, eats, drinks, sleeps, every part of his being is I want a bride. So we need to touch that because it's part of the revelation of the mystery, right? So. And the main element with the bride is that it has the life, right? The bone that was in Adam became Eve. So you could say Eve was Adam in life, in nature, right? So the bride was filled with life, but what does the bride mainly need? The bride mainly needs to love him and grow up unto maturity to become ready for his return. So we need to every day, focus on our love. Taking care of loving the Lord. Love the Lord. Every day, love the Lord. Practice telling the Lord you love Him.
Amen.
Practice it.
Amen.
You think, I don't feel like it. Practice it anyway.
Amen.
Practice it until you have some feeling about it. When a couple first gets married, a lot of I love yous flow. Because there's a lot of anticipation up until that day. And there's so much to love. So much. There's so much feeling. But there should be a progression in that experience. And one of the ways in the progression is to maintain a sweet, close, intimate fellowship. Care for one another, right? So, you gotta be a desperate man. You gotta fight for it. Right? The Lord, He's fighting for your love. What will you do? Oh, open to Him. Let Him infuse. You know, what happens is, the proper way God has arranged is that a young man wants to be married and something wells up in his heart for someone. And so they begin to contact one another. And maybe at first, the young lady is not so responsive. But you know what? If that man pours out his love on her. She gets infused with his love. Eventually, what happens? She responds to his love. What is the Lord doing right now in preparing his bride? Every day, he's pouring his love into us. And you know what we're doing? We're here receiving and responding.
Amen.
Okay, so it's very striking. This portion on the corporate warrior, we're on the corporate warrior this morning. The book of Ephesians is on the church. It's not on individual believers. It's on a corporate revelation of the mystery of the revelation. It's concerning the church, right? And the last aspect we're going to touch is on the matter of the warrior. Okay, one of the things I love about this topic is I love being on the winning side.
Amen.
Oh, that's awesome.
Amen.
So I want to start by just giving you the picture of the conclusion of it happens. Hallelujah. So I'll read you these verses in Revelation 19. This is the fulfillment.
Amen.
The corporate warrior in action.
Amen.
On the winning side. Okay, and it's very, very sweet. Because the sequence of the fulfillment is exactly like in Ephesians 5 and 6. Exactly. So in Revelation 19, if you want to look at the verses, it's very, very, very sweet. This is the marriage, the Lamb's marriage, and her marriage dinner. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're at the wedding now. Amen.
Amen.
The bride is ready.
Amen.
Okay, here we are. We're at the wedding. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, may we all be there.
Amen.
Don't you want to be there?
Yes.
Okay, here it is. We're there. We're at the wedding of the Lamb.
Amen.
Verse 7. Let us rejoice.
Amen.
Oh, you think you know how to rejoice. That day is going to be some rejoicing.
Amen.
And exult. And let us give glory to who? To Him!
Amen.
He's loved us all the way to the wedding day.
Amen.
And we're there full of love, ready for our bridegroom.
Amen.
For the marriage of the Lamb has come.
Amen.
And His wife has made herself ready.
Amen.
We're ready!
Yeah.
Woo-hoo-hoo! We're ready!
Amen.
One day we can say, Lord, we're ready!
Amen.
Oh, He's waiting for that day.
Amen.
He's waiting for the marriage of the Lamb. Okay, then it says, and it was given to her. Now this is talking about us, the corporate wife, that they should be clothed in fine linen,
Amen.
Bright and clean.
Amen.
For the fine linen is the righteousnesses of the saints. So I want you to pay attention. What kind of garment does the wife, the bride, have? It's what? Fine linen, bright and clean. In its nature, what? Bright. Or is it the other way? Clean, bright, expression. There's nature and expression, and actually it's just Christ. So their being, the righteousnesses of the saints, it's their being has been constituted that they have a garment. Okay? So what kind of garment? Linen. Fine linen, bright and clean. All right, so did you enjoy the wedding? Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go on our honeymoon. That's what you do. Wedding, let's go. Where are we going? Well, let's see. Same chapter. Look at verse 11. This is all of a sudden there's a war going on. Whoa! Who goes to their wedding and immediately goes to war? Christ does.
Amen.
Because listen, He has not fully with His bride accomplished God's eternal purpose. Remember Genesis 1:26? There's a twofold purpose. That man would what? Express Him and have dominion. What does the bride fulfill? The expression of Christ, right? Matching Him in every way. You look at the bride, looks just like Christ. Hallelujah. What an awesome couple. No difference. Right? But is God's purpose fully fulfilled just to have a wonderful bride in His expression? That's part A. So, right in the midst of this process of him enjoying this sweet event of being married, he says, let's go. There's a war that has to take place. Verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sits is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, what does he do? He judges and makes war. Do you know what the bride does? You know what the wife does? The wife goes wherever the husband goes. It's awesome. Sisters, one day you just go wherever your husband goes. He says, we're going to war. You go, amen. You're so one with him, you don't go, war? What? Because you know why? Your whole life you've been living in the battle. You're not surprised. Actually, you're full of anticipation to join him in the war.
Amen.
You've been kicking him to the lake of fire, and finally you're going to get to do it once for all.
Amen.
Every day in your life and in your living.
Amen.
You're not surprised you're going to battle, right? You're one with him.
Amen.
Okay, so he's making war. Why? This is a part of him carrying out the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. Now let's look at verse 14. 14 says, and the armies which are in heaven followed him.
Amen.
Sisters, follow your husband.
Amen.
We need to follow Christ. Do we wait that day to follow him? Too late. You better practice following him today. Even this morning, you better practice. Lord, I want to follow you.
Amen.
Follow him, okay? What do they do? Follow him. On white horses. How are they dressed? Dressed in fine linen, white and clean. The armies. The army is dressed in a wedding gown. Whoa. It's exactly like Ephesians. Chapter 5 is on the revelation of the bride. Chapter 6, that bride becomes the warrior to fulfill God's eternal purpose. It's the same thing. Fine linen. Your wedding garment is your uniform for battle.
Amen.
Wow. So, the revelation, it's really a mystery. It is really a mystery. But it's marvelous. So, this is the conclusion. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Let's all pray. And so I want you to pick up these prayers all through the message this morning. Write down these prayers. Here's the first prayer. Lord, cause me to cooperate with you that I could be a part of your bride. Amen. Lord, cause me to cooperate with you that I could be a part of your bride. If that happens, you will be a part of the warrior.
Amen.
It's a twofold thing going on. There's this side, the bride's being prepared, and it's a whole other section, warrior section. No. The bride becomes the warrior.
Yeah.
If you're at that wedding feast, guess what? You're a part of the warrior.
Amen.
When the Lord lived his human life on the earth, you know what he did? He constantly was dying daily. Then one day, he went to the cross. His going to the cross wasn't a strange experience, because every day in his life, he lived a crucified life. You want to be a part of the warrior? Every day, enter in to this revelation that you need to be a part of the corporate warrior. You fight today. You know what we just did a little bit ago? We had a great fighting session. It's one of the best ways to fight, and we'll get into the details, is to pray, read the Word.
Amen.
If you pray the Word, this is the best way to fight. Oh, Satan hated it this morning.
Amen. Good.
We kicked him in his teeth.
Amen.
Why? Because it's part of the proper way to fight.
Amen.
As the warrior, right? Okay, so I wanted to mention these two hymns. The first hymn that we sang is written by Brother Lee. And if you go through that hymn, you will get every major point in Ephesians chapter 6. It is incredible. Go back and look at the verses in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, and look at that hymn, and it's like, man, wow, what is going on here? This hymn was, listen, written by a mature believer who fought his whole life in the body. And so he could write a hymn about fighting the battle in the body.
Amen.
It's marvelous. Okay? Wow, what a hymn. Did you catch this line? What a hymn. How about this line? This is revelation. Listen, when we get to the end, you'll say, wow, what a line. Okay, I got what a line because I got fresh revelation as we were singing it. Verse 2, the first line of verse 2. For the body is God's armor.
Amen. Hallelujah.
What? I thought we were putting on God's armor. Yes. But the body is God's armor.
Amen.
What? Brother, are you right? You meant to say that put on God's armor. Full of revelation. Full of revelation. Okay, so this hymn, on your ride home, pray it. What about on every line, write a verse? Because probably every line you can go to Ephesians 10 through 20 and go, oh, yep, that's Ephesians verse 11, verse 12, 13, 14. Okay, this is the first hymn. This is Brother Lee, mature believer in the reality of being part of the bride and the warrior.
Amen.
Marvelous. Then Brother Nee wrote a hymn. His is hymn 887. 887. I'll read a few stanzas to you. The name of Jesus is our stand in hit. It is our victory. Not on ourselves do we rely. Are you relying on yourself this morning? We couldn't be here if we were relying on ourselves, right? But what? Mighty Lord on thee. Our weapons are not arms of flesh, but our spear, but ours the Spirit's sword, and God's whole armor putting on the battle in the Lord. Behold, the foe doth meet and plot. Stand firm in one accord. The war be fierce and darkness thick. Resist him in the Lord.
Amen.
Can you individually resist him? It wasn't hard to resist him while we were prayer reading, was it? You have any thoughts of the devil while you were prayer reading? Thoughts of the devil? Resist him in the Lord.
Amen.
If one through fear should backward turn, he undermines the rest. Oh, do not let your brothers down, nor by you be distressed. There's a lot of feeling about the members. It's a corporate army. You know, in the Marines, I think they, in their training, at least I know in Camp Pendleton out in San Diego, I know they have this particular drill that everyone has to make it. And they all stop to make sure if one can't make it. They're doing this process. Everyone makes it. And you think, oh, they can't make it. They're having a hard time. You know what they do? They go back and they're with them. Everyone makes it. Everyone makes it. They don't let one person not make it. Some of our dear brothers and sisters that we love and that they're on our campuses and they're in the church life, by the Lord's arrangement, they didn't get to come this weekend. What is your feeling for them? Do you just say, oh, sorry, you didn't make it. I'm moving on. Part of the warrior. Well, part of the warrior is your heart is that everyone makes it.
Amen.
Why? Because that's our Lord, the captain, right? Anyway, spend some time in this hymn, full of truth, full of truth. Okay, so a brief review of our time up until now, right? We saw chapter 1. Items of the church, right? The matter, it's the revelation of the mystery. It's concerning the church. Then it's also the revelation of the body. Then actually, a little bit in there, we didn't touch it specifically, but you know what the church is? It's the vessel through which all things are headed up in Christ. We didn't use this word vessel, but the church is the means that the whole universe will get headed up into Christ. We had a little bit of that, right? Then there was fellowship on the new man. Do you remember fellowship on the new man? to be part of the new man and to be exercised as the believers joined together as the new man, what do you need? Life or person? You need person. You need the person of Christ, right? The body needs Christ's life. The new man needs his person. How many persons do we need?
One.
We only need one person. Hallelujah. The church is that one new man. Okay, and it's awesome. The church is also God's masterpiece.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God has a masterpiece. You're being built into that masterpiece. Oh, we're in the process. Just remember, we just said, and the marriage of the Lamb has come.
Amen.
It's going to happen.
Amen.
You're going to be a part.
Amen.
Oh, that excites me. I'm a happy man.
Amen.
God chose me to be a part of His masterpiece.
Amen.
Who am I?
Amen.
What? Satan, you're going to the lake of fire.
Amen.
And I'm going to be part of God's masterpiece.
Amen.
Practice a little bit speaking to the devil the divine facts.
Amen.
He comes shooting a dart in. I'm part of the masterpiece.
Amen.
Shut up.
Amen.
Speak some facts.
Amen.
Speak the divine truth.
Amen.
Okay, not only the masterpiece, but what? What about our living in chapter 4? What kind of living do we need to have, right? What about our walk? What kind of walk do we need to have? We're not just the church in theory. We're the church in reality. So we need to have a living and a walk that's full of Christ, right? That we would all arrive, right? Growing. Then up unto what? Eventually, there's this matter of it's the revelation and it's the mystery of Christ. What is the church? It's the mystery of Christ. Eventually, it's the fullness of God.
Amen.
Paul, he is incredible. Man doesn't stop. What is going on? I mean, just masterpiece alone, hallelujah. But fullness of God.
Amen.
What is that? That's a mystery. That man could be built up and constituted with the element of the triune God to the extent that that expression of man and God and man would be His fullness. What is Paul talking about? You got to have the right organ. You got to have a revelation in your spirit. Right? Eventually it's a divine and human constitution. What is this thing? The church. The body. What is this? It's really a mystery. Right? Eventually, do we need to function as members? Do we need to be perfected? Do you have a heart to say? Second prayer. Lord Jesus, perfect me that I could be a functioning member in your body.
Amen.
Or do you just want to go home and say, oh, I don't need perfecting, I'm good enough. No, there should be a yearning in our being. He wants members functioning according to their measure. So we need to pray, Lord Jesus, perfect me. That I could be a functioning member in your body, right? Then eventually there's the walk of the new man. Last night we touched the bride, right? He wants to be satisfied. He's going to gain his bride. So this morning now we come to the corporate warrior. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 1 all together. Ready? Go.
Ephesians 6 reveals that the church as a new man is a corporate warrior fighting.
So the church as the new man is a what? A corporate warrior fighting against the enemy of God for God's kingdom, right? So let's alternate through these points, A, B, C, and D. How about brothers A, sisters B? Let's just read this little section. Ready, go.
The church as the one new man is a corporate man in God's intention, and this new man will purpose of expressing God and dealing with God's enemy.
Okay, sisters, B.
The church is not only the body to express Christ, the new man for the fulfillment of God's economy, and the bride for God's satisfaction and desire. The church must also be a warrior, a soldier to defeat God's enemy.
Brother C.
Spiritual warfare is necessary because Satan's will is in conflict with God's will. In order for the kingdom of the heavens needs to be established. There is a need of spiritual fighting.
Sisters,
spiritual warfare is typified by the children of Israel fighting against the Canaanites for possession of the good land. The church must be such a corporate warrior, fighting against Satan's aerial forces, so that God's people may gain more of Christ for the building up of the body of Christ and for the establishing and spreading of the kingdom of God.
You should read the life study of Joshua the first 12 chapters, and then you'll get that as the nugget. It's a lot there, right? It's incredible with the picture of the children of Israel. As soon as they started in God's way, you know what their life was filled with? Fighting. Fighting. So as the bride is being prepared, you should experience a lot of warfare. Because you know what? The bride and the warrior get prepared. They're the one and the same. What is the twofold purpose of God's purpose? You know, what God's economy? It says the twofold purpose of... What are the twofold purpose again? Yeah, expressing God and dealing with God's enemy, right? Until this is fulfilled, God's purpose and God's economy isn't fully fulfilled. So this matter of the warrior is not optional. Will God just go, awesome, I have a bride, but I still have an enemy. Ah, don't worry about that. No way. As much as he wants his bride, he created you to kick Satan in the lake of fire.
Amen.
Are you excited about that?
Amen.
His being in intensity of love towards his bride is as intense towards Satan being kicked into the lake of fire. Amen. Once and for all, by his created creatures.
Amen.
But we walk around, we got no feeling. Like, what? Battlefield? God's enemy? We might get touched. Oh, we need to love the Lord. We need to listen. We need to love what he loves and hate what he hates.
Amen.
How do you do that? Spend time with the Lord in the morning.
Amen.
Go have a date. It's horrible when the date doesn't show up. It's a sad day. How long are you going to wait? You know what? He waits a long time for the date. And sometimes the date is a 12-hour experience. He's still waiting. Finally, 12 hours later, you go, oh, I didn't go to the date. Ring. I'm so sorry, Tom. I totally forgot. That's okay. You didn't go, yeah! It's amazing. Full of love. Should be full of condemning, rebuking. You're useless. How come you can't just come to the date on time? Every time you get to him again, he goes, so good to see you, Steve. Steve, I just care about you. And as he's infusing you with his love, inwardly go, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm so sorry. Lord, firstly, before you kiss me, I have to apologize. I missed the date 12 hours ago. I am so sorry. But Lord, thank you for loving me now. If you want to kiss me, I'm open. But I'm so sorry. Every time. There's not one time I've come to the Lord and the Lord isn't ready to kiss me. And he doesn't approach, sin! You are a sinner! He loves us. And you know what he does? If you haven't enjoyed this verse, pray read it sometime. Romans 2:5. It says, through his kindness, he causes repentance. His compassion towards us draws us to repentance. So, brothers and sisters, this matter of the warfare, it's not a sidebar. It's very much in line with what's on his heart. It's as much a part of the revelation of the mystery. If you left today, and the enemy would love it, that you would leave and your book of Ephesians stops at chapter 5. You walk out of here and you're, oh, I'm going to be part of the bride. I'm going to the wedding day. You're not going to get to the wedding day because you don't have the full revelation. The revelation is twofold. He wants an expression, but he also wants representation. He wants his enemy to be dealt with. Okay, third prayer. Lord, make me a part of your corporate warrior.
Amen.
Lord, make me a part of your corporate warrior. So, it's corporate, right? Are we talking about individual believers this morning?
No,
we're on the book of, and what it's about? Revelation of the mystery, which is the church. Now we're talking about the corporate warrior. Are you going to all of a sudden, okay, we're all soldiers, and this morning you get the command. Sergeant Mooney, sir.
Yes, sir.
By yourself, sir. Go fight. And you're like, are you crazy, sir? Can I address you that way, sir? Wake up, people. We're not expecting, neither is the Lord expecting, you to go fight the enemy on your own. And you are a foolish man, and probably you have had thousands of failures trying to do it on your own. God never intended that to happen. So you know what? Satan wants to blind your mind this morning to not see that the battle is a part of the church.
Amen.
It's the warrior.
Amen.
So, just a practical word. Never leave the church.
Amen.
Amen.
How are you going to be part of the warrior if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to leave? Yeah, it's just not for me. You know, they offend me. They don't love me. Oh, my goodness. So I'm just going to leave. By the Lord's mercy and sovereignty, I was born into a family that parents love the Lord. My mom got saved when she was 5. My dad got saved about 6 years old. They grew up in Christian families. They had a heart to pursue the Lord. They had 5 children. They infused us with a heart for God. My dad was a minister, a pastor. He got so frustrated with the system. He said, "Where can I go to minister Christ to people where they can just receive and enjoy Christ?" So you know what we did? We went to Indonesia. When I was 5 years old, my dad took the 4 children at the time. We're going to a land where religion and all, we're going to go to a pagan land so that we can minister Christ to people and they can receive Christ and contact Christ and be brought to Christ, because the system was just, what is going on with this system? He would go to pastors' conventions and he couldn't get any pastors to pray with him. Yet they're supposed to be taking care of God's people. So he said, "Let's go, we're going." So we went to Indonesia. My parents became missionaries. I grew up from 5 to 10 years old in Indonesia. In that environment, I got saved. Hallelujah!
Amen.
You know how I got saved? It was related to a kiss. We're sitting at the dinner table. I'm sitting next to my older brother. And my dad would do this sometimes. Because God loves us, we should express our love to the members of our family. Okay, we're 5 years old. No problem, you would think. So, Dad says, before we finish our dinner, you should express your love to your brother or your sister by giving them a kiss on the cheek. I'm like, okay. I mean, we had a loving family. No big deal. I'm sitting next to my older brother. He refuses. He's 7 years old. He is not going to kiss me. Are you crazy, Dad? Like, kiss my brother? You're not leaving the table until this happens. I'm 5. And they're like, No, just kiss me, you know. So there's the battle of wills. It's just a simple action. So there's this long ordeal. My brother is refusing. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. I don't know how long it went. Can't remember that, how long. But I remember at one point, the compassion of God touched his heart. I mean, it's mysterious. Something happened. You know what I think happened? Like we mentioned earlier, someone was praying. I believe my mom and dad were praying for him. Praying for him. Praying for him. And it's like there's this warfare, this battle. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And then something happened. And you know what happened? We both prayed and received the Lord Jesus. And he kissed me on the cheek. What is going on? Okay, arrangement of God in our families and in our circumstances. Not a small thing that he would choose you to be a part of Nissen, not only his bride, but his army. Do you want to just be part of God's purpose? Or do you want to be part of the complete purpose? Part of the bride and part of the warrior. Well, you know what happened? You got to be like, eventually you got to cooperate. Many times the Lord just asks a little bit, will you cooperate? Will you give me a kiss? We're like, oh, it's not a good time. I do this to my wife all the time. I ask her to kiss me when she's busy. And it really frustrates her. And then you know what? After she does, she goes, okay. That's what happens. We're so busy. The Lord sometimes just wants to stop us. Well, are you going to cooperate? And you know what? She says, I'm right. I said, I'll wait. I'm still not leaving until I get a kiss. Okay. And then she realizes, this man ain't going anywhere. And then she'll kiss me and try to go, okay, I'm done. And I'm like, no. I waited for this kiss. The Lord is very, very, very determined to have a sweet relationship with us. Right? Okay. You know who's fighting this morning in the body for me? My wife. These brothers are too. I'm sure there's brothers elsewhere praying. We're fighting in the body. Amen. We're not doing some kind of thing on our own. We're in the body. Amen. These brothers that wrote the hymns, they were in the reality of fighting in the body. Amen. So you know what? Your lover becomes your fighter. Whoa. I'd love to go to war with my wife. Man, she's tenacious. Is that a true statement, Rianne? I mean, Ash, do you know my wife? You think I'm wild and crazy. The Lord wants to go to war with his lover. Hallelujah. A lot of times I'm thinking something and I'm about to express it and my wife will say, oh, I'll take care of that. What? And then she goes, weren't you going to say da 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 da? I said, yeah, I was. Incredible. In January, I'll be married 32 years. Sometimes it's amazing. You start to become one person. Well, how does that happen? It takes day by day. A sweet relationship, opening to one another and caring for what's on the Lord's heart. So, brothers and sisters, this matter of the corporate warrior is very much not an individual matter, right? So I think the next section talks about initially, how are we going to fight as the body, okay? Let's read Roman numeral 2 all together. Ready, go.
To deal with God's enemy, we need to be empowered with the greatness of the power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the heavenlies, far above all
So you should underline empowered or circled, and you should underline far above all. The question I have for you this morning is, where are you? Where are you? Far above all.
Amen.
In battle, position is all, is everything. Do you realize you're one with Christ in the third heavens? Far above all? We think we're here down on the earth. Oh man. Far above all? If you know where you are, battles run. But we don't realize where we are, right? And what are you empowered with? Your determination and your own human will? No, you're empowered what? With the greatness of His power, the power that raised Christ from the dead. In Ephesians 1:19, what kind of power? What kind of resurrecting power and ascending power and transcending power and subduing power? That power is what is empowering you right now.
Amen.
In the third heavens.
Amen.
Okay, let's go. I mean, everybody below you, there is no chance. We're one with Christ in the third heavens.
Amen.
And we're empowered with His resurrection power.
Amen.
Problem is, we don't live in that reality. We're like, oh man, the enemy's all the time beating me up. That's not where you are. That's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
When He ascended, we ascended with Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Where's the war? Where's the corporate warrior? It's with Him.
Amen.
So, wake up to your proper position. Right? We're empowered. So the first thing to fight and to carry out the fighting is we need to be empowered with the Lord.
Amen.
Empowered with the resurrection power. Okay, brothers A, go. The fact.
The fact that we need to be empowered in the Lord indicates that in ourselves we cannot fight the spiritual warfare. We can fight only in the Lord and in the might of His strength.
Sisters B.
The charge to be empowered implies the need to our will. If we would be empowered for spiritual warfare, our will must be strong and exercised.
Amen.
So the word in that verse is be empowered. It's active. Be empowered. Empowered is passive. But until you be, you're not empowered. So what is it related to? It's related to your will. How many ate breakfast this morning? Okay, the food, the empowering of the food was there, but what did you have to do? You had to cooperate. You had to be in the dining hall. You had to go through a line. You had to get the food. You had to use a utensil. You did a little something. Did that action cause you to be empowered? Well, actually the food right now is empowering you.
Amen.
But you cooperated, right? You chose. You said, oh, I'll do fruit this morning, or I'll do eggs this morning, right? You cooperated to enable it to work. So you used your what? It says to exercise, you had to exercise your will. If we would be empowered for spiritual warfare, our will must be what? Strong and exercised. Okay. One time this young brother was in fellowship with this older brother. And this is related to the will, okay? And he said, brother, in a short way, can you help me understand? What's the difference between a young brother and a more mature brother? Just, you know, give me just, you know, a few nuggets. What would you say? In your experience, and he's talking to this older brother, he's like, you know, because I want to learn and I want to grow and I want to mature to be an older brother. What do I need to do? What? And you know what this brother said? He paused and then he said, in my experience, I would say the older brother repents faster. And the younger brother goes, what? He said, that's basically it. The older brother, he just repents faster. The younger brother wallows and like, oh man, I'm a horrible sin. I'm a horrible man. Oh man, oh, day one, oh, day two, I'm horrible.
They're going to kick me out of the church. Day three, I don't think I can see the brothers. Day four, head down. What are you doing? Revelation 11:19, right? I mean, overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. 12:11, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their soul. It doesn't say repent and regret a lot. Actually, you're regretting questions God's sovereignty. God allowed you to fail, but he provided you the blood. So repent and go on. Amen. Use your will. Choose to repent quickly. You know why? Because then you get right back into the fellowship of the divine life. Or you waste a lot of days and a lot of hours. You're like a jellyfish. Can't make a decision. I'll probably do this again. Reason in your mind. No, brothers, sisters, repent.
Amen.
And grow.
Amen.
Quickly.
Amen.
Doesn't say go a long period of time, right? So this matter of your will being strong. We're talking about the corporate warrior. But you know what? We're all soldiers in that army.
Right.
The army is only good as all the individuals in it.
Amen.
If nobody here is trained and Ken gets up and starts to try to carry out an exercise, and we're like, oh, good luck, Ken. Yeah. When's lunch? Oh, man, can I get an ice cream? You're not a soldier.
Yeah.
You need to be trained.
Amen.
The body has a strong will to fulfill God's purpose because it lines up with God's will. What about you? I'm an arm. I'm a member. I'm a soldier. I should also have a strong will.
Amen.
Repent. Actually, listen. In the Bible, all the men that God used had strong wills. Think about Paul. Man, did he have a strong will? He was persecuting the church, killing believers. And you know what? He repented. He had a strong will, had a change. Brothers, exercise your renewing in your inward being. Make a choice.
Amen.
Have a strong will to line up to be part of what God desires. Okay, where are we? Three? Let's go. Three. Spiritual warfare is not
an individual matter. It is a matter of the body.
Sisters A and then brothers B. Go. Brothers,
God's strategy is to use the church as his army to fight against the enemy. Satan's strategy is to isolate us from the church as God's army.
So in A, you should circle together. And above it, you should write twos and threes. And in B, you should circle isolate. The enemy's strategy is to isolate you from the church in every possible way, inwardly and outwardly. He isolates you from, oh, I'm too tired, I'm not going to the meeting. Isolated. You're in the meeting, your inward being's in turmoil, you're in Japan eating sushi. You think you're in the meeting, you think you're in the church, actually you're in Japan eating sushi. It's like, oh man, oh yeah. You're not part of the church. You're not part of the army. You're not part of the warfare. You're out, yet you're physically here. So inwardly and outwardly, he wants to isolate you. All the time. All the time. In your practice this year, you're just going to realize, wow, man, it seems so difficult to be with the twos and threes. What's with that, Jason? Good night. You know, we set a time to pray. I stub my toe. I got to go to the emergency room. The next day, I get all better. Jason, we doing it? We're doing it. Then what happens? Jason gets a car wreck. Good grief. What's going on? Okay. Car gets fixed. We can get together. Third day. Let's do this, Jason. All right, brother. Have a little time in the morning. We pray a little bit. Let's get together. What happens? His son has an injury. Like, what is going on? You know what? There's warfare going on. The enemy wants you to be isolated. Does he want you to be with the twos and threes? Does he want you to be a part of the building up of the body of Christ? Does he want you to be part of the bride loving him? And no way! You think all of a sudden he goes, oh yeah, I'll sleep on this one, let them not be isolated. No, night and day he's working to isolate you.
Yeah, that's right.
And sometimes you don't even realize it. And a little bit, all of a sudden you're just like, you're just drifting off in no man's land. Like, oh, yeah, I think I'm in the church. And you're blinded to where you've been taken.
Yeah.
You know what? Probably you haven't been around the twos and threes in a while. If you got around the twos and threes, you realize, whoa, my heart's not right. Forgive me, Lord. Oh, my goodness. I want to pursue you, Lord.
Yeah.
I thought I loved you. I'm not loving you at all. Yeah. Till I get with the brothers, I think, I'm doing great. Yeah, you're isolated off there in no man's land.
Yeah.
He loves it. He does it to all of us. You think, oh, when you get older, you won't have this issue. He doesn't stop. You think your lives are complicated now? My goodness. You know what? He does not stop. So you know what? You'll get offended. It's that sister, she looked at me like, oh man, I just can't believe she did that to me. Doesn't she know? I'm a church kid. Enosh, I'm thinking I'm leaving because she won't apologize. You know, the Bible says she should apologize. Is that not right, Enosh? I think that's what I was told in true school. Enosh, aren't you with me on this? She should apologize. She offended me. I know brothers and sisters that have left the church just like what I'm talking about. I don't know one children's meeting brother that I was in children's meeting with that's in the Lord's recovery today. What a shame. Where are they? You know what happened? Offense. Bother. I guess part of the bride and the warrior is not worth it. I don't get it. What's going on? You know what? He wants to isolate you. He's not going to stop. That's his strategy. So I hope within your being is, oh Lord Jesus. Okay, prayer number four, is that what we're on? Lord, build me in into the twos and threes.
Amen.
Lord, build me in into the twos and threes. That I would be together and not isolated. See, I'll go on. The whole armor of God is for the body, not for individuals. Only the corporate warrior can wear the whole armor of God. D, the whole armor of God consists of the girdle of reality or truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the firm foundation of the gospel of peace, the shoes, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Okay, I want to get into the details of all these. If you have your Bible, you can pull it out. How about, let's read real quickly these verses. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read to you verse 10 through 13, then let's alternate brothers, sisters. Brothers, you'll read verse 14, and we'll go all the way to 18, okay? So I'll read you the first couple of verses, and then on 14, brothers, you'll read. Ready? This section, okay, it says, finally, be empowered in the Lord and in the might of His strength. Put on the whole armor. You can say amen.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand.
Amen.
Against the stratagems of the devil.
Amen.
Satan, we are here standing.
Amen.
That's the spirit that's in the Lord for His body.
Amen.
We're here standing. This whole week, you know what we did? We stood.
Amen.
For God's purpose and God's economy.
Amen.
And you know what? Satan, this whole year, we're going to stand.
Amen.
With the twos and threes.
Amen.
Corporately.
Amen.
In the body.
Amen.
Okay. Why? Because we're empowered in the Lord.
Amen.
We're not doing it on our own. We're going to see how we're empowered. Okay, for our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies.
Amen.
So now we find out what kind of fighting it is. It's a wrestling. My younger brother was an outstanding wrestler. I was a corporate sports guy. I liked playing on a team. He liked individually. He liked lifting weights. I hated lifting weights. He liked to wrestle individually. You know, wrestling, it's one-on-one. You know what? One-on-one. It's Christ the head, one with the corporate warrior, to fight against the enemy. It's one-on-one. Not you as the one-on-one, but the corporate warrior, one-on-one. It's a wrestling. Okay. You know what the number one thing in wrestling is, if you don't know? Get them off their feet. If you get a wrestler off their feet, it's about to go down bad. So you know what? They're constantly trying to get them off their feet. They do everything to get them. Why? They want them on the mat. What does the warrior do? How many times? You should circle it in this section. Stand, 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 withstand. Amen. The enemy, you know what he wants to do? You know how he isolates you? He gets you off your feet. You're walking on campus. You just got taken off your feet. One little look. So what are you going to do? Stay on the mat? You know, a wrestler, as soon as he goes down, he does everything he can do to get back up on his feet. But we go down and we're like, wow, what a scenery. You're about to get pinned. It's lights out here in a few seconds. He thought it was bad. So what do you do? Listen, repent quickly. Yeah. Lord, forgive me for looking at that sign. Satan, you're a liar. I'm washed in the blood. Amen. Back on your feet. Amen. Not just individually, but in the body. Amen. On your feet. Amen. Stand, right? Marty said this. Book of Ephesians, what is the first one? Sit. What's the second one? Walk. What's the last one?
Stand.
Okay, this morning we're on stand. You got it? We're on stand.
Amen.
Okay, next verse. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to
stand.
Brothers 14.
Stand therefore.
No. Emphasize the word. Brothers. The first word there. Ready, go.
Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness.
Sisters. Brothers,
besides all these, having taken up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming darts of the evil one,
and receiving the helmet of salvation,
Amen.
And the sword of the Spirit,
Amen.
The Spirit is the word of God,
Amen.
By means of all prayer
and petition, praying at every time in spirit, watching unto this in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to run through very quickly the six items of the armor of God, and then the seventh item of prayer. So you can take some notes quickly. We've got to go quickly, but I want to touch a couple of points before we conclude. Okay, in verse 14, the girdle or it says girding your loins, right? The girdle of truth or the girdle of reality. What is this? So if you think about a soldier putting on army gear, right? He always starts from the inside and works out. So usually on the inside of a person, there's an undergarment that cinches your whole being and strengthens your inward parts. Okay, the warrior needs to be cinched up in their daily life with the reality of Christ.
Amen.
In their living and in truth. You wonder why you're kind of flimsy in your walk with the Lord? Not much truth in your inward being. Like, wow, I really want to pursue the Lord, but I just cannot stand up. Just kind of flopping around like no backbone. I just, Lord Jesus, why the saints love so much? You need some girding.
Amen.
The warrior, firstly, is girded with truth.
Amen.
The inward part, his torso, he's girded up. He's ready for warfare. So the first is what? We need Christ in our daily living, the reality of Christ to be the truth in our being. We need to be people of the truth. Not of doctrine, but of truth. Christ is our reality isn't some slogan.
Right.
He is our reality. What about in your daily living? Is he your reality? He needs to be your reality. If you have this experience, you know what? You'll be girded up. You see a brother, Enosh, praise the Lord, brother. You're just girded.
Amen.
Why? You had a good pray reading on the way. You sang a little hymn. Got to class with Enosh. Brother, praise the Lord. Gospel time, brother. How you doing, brother? Oh, amen, brother. Amen. Girded. Your whole being is girded.
Amen.
That's the first, okay? Put on, it's member, it's the corporate warrior. But in principle, we're all members of the army. So as you think the corporate warrior is going to have the girding and we all not get girded? No. Because we're girded, the warrior is girded.
Amen.
Right? So God in Christ is the reality of our living. We need to live out Christ.
Amen.
That's all of Paul's life and living in the epistles, right? Live Christ. It's not a slogan. It should be the reality of the girding up. Okay, number two, the breastplate of righteousness. This is, all of these items are Christ Himself. All of these items of warfare are Christ Himself. He is the reality of them, okay? Christ Himself, He is our righteousness. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, Christ, right? Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. This is our Christ. He's our righteousness. So what is this matter of the breastplate? You know, it's the next piece that goes on over the girdle. It's the what? It protects the inner organs. You know, this the warriors in the old day, they had this big plate covering their torso because their heart and their lungs and, you know, here comes a flaming dart. Oh, forgot my breastplate. Praise the Lord. Girdle didn't work. No. Get that breastplate on. Right? Well, what is this? This is a matter of your conscience. Your conscience. The breastplate covers your conscience and guards from Satan's accusations. Thank the Lord, we're covered by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is our righteousness.
Amen.
Righteousness is in the blood, and the covering of the blood is our breastplate.
Amen.
So I had three prayers. I don't know that you can write them all, but you can get the essence of it related to this section. When He comes to accuse you and attack you, you had a good time with the Lord this morning. You confessed your sins. Your standing is on the blood of Jesus. And then He comes to accuse you. Do you know what? That's His full-time job. It says He accuses God day and night. Day and night. Day and night. You think you're going to go for lunch and He's not going to accuse you? Like, I'll take a break from that guy. No. Probably the accusations are going to intensify. You walk out of this meeting like, whoa, what's going on? Day and night, day and night. Okay, He's accusing you. Well, if your hiding is in the blood, your stand is on Christ's righteousness. Are we here because we're such good brothers and we can accomplish something for God? We're filthy rags. Their standing is on the blood. The righteousness of Christ is why we can stand. So He's covering our conscience. So, you know what? He'll come to accuse you. You know what you need to do? Speak the fact.
Amen.
Back to Him.
Amen.
Satan, I overcame you.
Amen.
Not by my perfection, not by my perfection, and not even by a conscience void of offense. Because sometimes there's nothing wrong with our conscience. We can't just stand even on that.
Right.
We need Christ as our righteousness.
Amen.
We've overcome you by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
I have a breastplate of righteousness. Right? So we need to pray when we're about to fight the battle. You know, when you fight the battle, sometimes when you get together to go do something for the Lord, preach the gospel, take care of a new one, it's a battle. He doesn't want those people to grow. You're going to fight a battle here. It's a battle. How come all the new ones don't just grow so healthily? What's going on with that? There's a battle. Right? We should pray, Lord, cover us.
Amen.
In your righteousness.
Amen.
Lord, we hide in your blood, in our carrying out of whatever we're doing. We need to hide in the Lord's blood.
Amen.
And then sometimes you've got to speak directly to the enemy. If you've been cleared up with the Lord, there is no offense, there is no problem between God and man, you need to speak the fact. Satan, in the body, I have overcome you. Not by my merit, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. Right? So, sorry, I think sometimes we think, oh, I shouldn't talk to the devil. Well, if you're in the right position and in the body, he needs to hear the fact. You know what? He keeps, it's like a fly. And you're like, the other night when it was happening, I was irritating. I was about to stand up. There's this fly irritating the brother sharing, you know, and I think Jesse, you're trying to share, and there's like, it wouldn't go away. We think, oh, I'm going to deal with the fly. This came back again. You don't speak the fact. The reason he's not getting away is because you're not carrying out what you should be doing. It says, by the word of your testimony. What is that? That's not that you did a good job. It's that Christ died for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, the next one is this. What's the next one? Firm foundation of the gospel of peace, right? In verse 15. It says, having shod your feet with the firm foundation. Okay, what is this? This is Christ, because Christ has made peace for us on the cross. You know, in Ephesians 2, 15, 16, what happened? The Gentiles and the Jews, they weren't one, but you know what happened? On the cross, he dealt with all the problems. So now there's peace. So this gospel here is not, you don't have shoes. Many people think, oh, these shoes are for gospelizing people. They're running shoes. No, this is not the gospel of forgiveness. This is not the gospel of grace. This is the gospel of peace. This is, you know what these are? These are your boots. You need some good boots. They're not running shoes. What is your stand? Your stand is that Christ on the cross has all made us one, and we're now at peace.
Amen.
With God and with man. Wow, we're in oneness with God, and we're in oneness with the body.
Amen.
Fully at peace. You got some good standing shoes, right? Your stand is not on your own merit, your stand is in Him. The shield of faith, next verse. What does this do? This protects our... So you have your girdle, your breastplate, your shoes. Then what? You need a shield, because the old... days, they shoot darts over, flaming darts. Here comes a flaming dart, and you're just like, whoo, whoo. You can't do that for too long before you get fired up. You need a shield. What is your shield? Your shield is a shield of faith. It protects your entire being from the attack of the enemy. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, Christ is what? The author and perfecter of our faith. So the flaming darts, you know what the flaming darts are? You can write them down. Satan's temptations, proposals, doubts, questions, lies, attacks. How about that? All day long, this is what happens. He tempts you, you wake up, he gives you a good proposal, puts doubt in your mind, causes you to question, he lies to you. He attacks you. This is what he's doing all day long. What do you need? You need faith.
Amen.
And you have it. What is that faith? Seven items. You need faith in God. Amen.
Amen.
We have faith in God.
Amen.
Our God is real.
Amen.
Our God is living.
Amen.
Our God is present.
Amen.
Our God is available.
Amen.
I have faith in God.
Amen.
Number two, I have faith in God's heart. God's heart towards me is loving,
amen,
is good.
Amen.
He has not one negative thought about me.
Amen.
The enemy's lying to us all the time. God just wants to crush you. It's a lie. You need to have faith in God's heart. No matter what happens to you or what kind of suffering you go through, you have to believe in the goodness of God's heart.
Amen.
God's heart is good toward us.
Amen.
Number three, you need to have faith in God's faithfulness. We may change, but God never changes.
Amen.
In James 1:17, it says, there is no shadow of turning.
Right.
You can't ever find a shadow that God changed his mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He will never change His mind.
Amen.
We need to have faith in God's faithfulness. Number four, we need to have faith that He is able. In Ephesians 3:20, it says what? Paul declares that God is able to do superabundantly all that we ask or think.
Amen.
Our God is able.
Amen.
You need to get filled with that faith.
Amen.
Number five, we need to have faith in God's Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is bound by what He's spoken. He's bound by it. We can tell God, we should tell God, God, You spoke the Bible and the Bible is in my hand. And You have to fulfill every word. And I believe it. And it's going to be done. Hallelujah for the Word of God. We need to have faith in God's Word. Number six, we need to have faith in God's will. We talked about this a lot, right? Because God has a purpose, He has a will. And His will with respect to us is always positive.
Amen.
So no matter what happens to us, listen to this. No matter what happens to you, you shouldn't care for your happiness or environment. But you should care for God's will.
Amen.
Why? Because it's always good toward you.
Amen.
The environment might change, but God's will hasn't changed. Right? Hallelujah for God's will. God's will never changes.
Amen.
Number seven, have faith in God's sovereignty. Because God is sovereign, God could never make a mistake. Amen.
Amen.
Satan, God can never make a mistake.
Amen.
I believe it.
Amen.
I make mistakes, but it's only under God's sovereignty that He allows it. And you know what? When I'm aware I make it, I repent quickly and I'm brought back into the arrangement that God has for me. I don't make any mistakes that's outside of God's sovereignty. I don't go try around and make mistakes, but the Lord allows mistakes. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the mistakes we make, we think it's over. It's over. Oh, brothers, if you knew what I did, it's over. It's over. It's not over.
Amen.
God's sovereign.
Amen.
Read some testimonies in the Old Testament about huge men that made huge mistakes, and yet God used them to bring forth the building up of the temple. Whoa! It's under God's sovereignty. Right? We might make a mistake, but the Lord knows. Repent and get brought back into enjoying this faith. How about this shield? Amen.
Amen.
I want to be one full of faith.
Amen.
So I want to give you a secret that I practice. In Romans 10, and then I'll conclude here. 10:17, it says, listen, faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing through the Word of Christ. I would encourage you to try this. I'm not pushing it on you. I'm just telling you. The Bible is clear. It says you need a shield of faith. How are you going to get it? How are you going to enjoy Christ as your shield of faith? You need a lot of hearing. And hearing. Have we not had a lot of hearing this weekend?
Amen.
All this week. A lot of hearing of faith.
Amen.
Boy, man, do I have a big shield. Why? Because I'm full of faith.
Amen.
The body is full of faith.
Amen.
How did we get it? We got it through the hearing. So I would say, every time you spend time with the Lord, individually or corporately, you should hear yourself. Your quiet time, it's a little odd for us to be out here, kind of, it's hard. But like when you read the Bible, you should hear yourself. Try it. It's like, you read the Bible. No, that's good. Or read the Bible to yourself. Try it. As soon as you start reading the Bible, you start hearing. Like, oh, sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God.
Amen.
You get filled with faith. And you think, oh, you're reading to yourself. Yeah, I don't care. It works.
Amen.
Practice it. When we sing, we like some of you guys are, when you're corporately in your group meetings, when you're in your twos and threes, you should all the time be hearing one another.
Amen.
It's like that's how you get it. Why wouldn't we use it? I'm giving you a can opener. Eat the beans. He goes, no, I don't want to use the can opener. What are you doing that for? I got a can opener. No, I think I can do it like this. What a waste of time. Faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
And what do you need to hear? The word of Christ.
Amen.
That's why when you're dead and dead and dead and dead, and you walk into the meeting and the saints are singing, and you go, by the blood of the... Oh, Lord, thank you for your... I mean, right away, you get infused with faith. Like, what happened to me? You got the word of Christ into your ears.
Amen.
And then you're full of faith. You're like, oh, I'm a believer. Oh, forgive me, Lord. Amen. I'm back. I'm back. Oh, brothers, I'm back. Because I got the hearing of faith.
Amen.
Practice it. In your reading of the Bible, in your time with the Lord, in your singing of Him, you should hear yourself.
Amen.
Why? You know what? The more you hear, the more your faith will go up.
Amen.
I got to stop. I'll give you four concluding points and three words. Four concluding points and three words. How do you apply this message? You can read the rest of the outline in your car on the way home. So the practical way to apply this message is, listen, we need to pray, read the word personally and daily. Listen, and you'll read in the portion, what is this prayer reading for? It's not only for nourishment, but it's to slay the adversary within you. This word is a killing word. You know where the enemy is? We're thinking, oh, he's out there. No, his elements are right here. He's within you. The adversary is within. What do we need to do? We need to kill the adversary within. How are you going to do that? It's by the sword of the Spirit. How do you get that? Pray over the word.
Amen.
You pray the word, and your hatred for that sister gets slashed out of there. You're like, I can never forgive her. I can never forgive her. I can never forgive her. Oh, Lord, by the sword, cut out.
Wow.
Like, woo! This sword, it works.
Amen.
So, what do you need to do? Pray, read the word, not just for your nourishment, but pray that the killing element in the word would kill the adversary within you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Then when you fall, not if you fall, overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Repent quickly.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
I would say that's more on the soldier side. Now on the warrior side, what do you need to do? Praying corporately. You need to pray corporately to bind the strong man and plunder his house, like in Matthew 12:29. You need to enter into a prayer with others that binds the principalities and powers, the things that are going on in the heavenly. There's so much darkness on all the campuses. We need to pray binding prayers. Enter into a fighting, binding prayer. It's not a prayer about you being nourished. It's a prayer realizing there's an enemy in the universe and you're joining yourself to the Lord to bind him and also release the ones that the Lord is caring for, okay? And then on the practical side, corporately, what do you need to do? You need to fight in prayer for each other. Amen. Fight in prayer for each other, just like Abraham fought for Lot. He even called him his brother. Lot wasn't his brother. He goes, my brother. We need to pray for one another. There's a lot of the ones that we wish they were here. They're not here. It's okay. Fight for them. How do you fight for them? You don't go back to them and say, Enosh, you missed it, brother. You should have come, brother. Maybe next year. Amen. You need to get with Jason and pray. Oh, our brother Enosh. Oh, our brother, Lord. Lord, what would you do to feed him today?
Amen.
We fight for him. He's struggling. We don't even know what it is, Lord. But we bind the principalities and powers that's locking his jaw up from enjoying you as the bread of life. Loose his jaw. Cause him to drink. Fight for your brother. Or are you going to be like, oh, Lot, you deserve it. You fell. You decide to go to idolatry. You decide to go to... Lot, I'm just going to judge you. Where's the heart of our Lord in the care for man? Fight for them, right? How do you fight for them? Not fighting them. Fight for them.
Amen.
In prayer, right? In prayer. Okay, and so then we'll conclude with three words. Concerning the revelation of the mystery, this is what you need to do. Amen?
Amen.
Three things. See it. Have you seen it?
Amen.
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 We've seen something.
Amen.
So, Lord, we want to see it.
Amen.
Then after you see it, you need to be it.
Amen.
It should be what you are. Be it.
Amen.
Live it.
Amen.
Enjoy it.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
Be it.
Amen.
By all the fellowship we've given, right? And then what if it just next year we come back and it's just the same number here? Think the Lord would be happy? You should speak it. So we need to see the revelation, we need to be the revelation, and we need to speak the revelation.
Amen.
How about this? Amen?
Amen?
How about we conclude with a prayer and then we'll watch the video. Lord, thank you for all your speaking.
Amen.
Thank you for the revelation of the mystery.
Amen.
Thank you for showing it to us.
Amen.
We want to see more.
Amen.
Lord, and we want to live it.
Amen.
In our daily life.
Amen.
In the twos and threes.
Amen.
In choosing you.
Amen.
In exercising our spirit.
Amen.
In loving you.
Amen.
In running after you.
Amen.
Oh, in fighting for our brothers.
Amen.
And caring for one another.
Amen.
Bring us into this fighting prayer.
Amen.
Joining all the members to be the warrior.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
And we ask you to strengthen us to speak it.
Amen.
We want to be men that speak the vision.
Amen.
Speak the revelation.
Amen.
Oh, that it would become what we are.
Amen.
Lord, make us part of your bride.
Amen.
We want to be part of your warrior.
Amen.
Lord, grant us such a living.
Amen.
In the twos and threes.
Amen.
On the campus where we are.
Amen.
In the church life where we are.
Amen.
Keep us together.
Amen.
Save us from being isolated.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.